But what percentage of patients do not respond to first-line therapy? And what are the second-line options for those patients?
Usually it's in the range of about 25 to 30% of patients seem not to get any great benefit from first-line therapy. We typically treat for 4 to 6 cycles. Many patients have benefit, whether that's in objective shrinkage of the cancer or a lack of progression of the cancer. The patient will need subsequent therapies. We have 3 drugs approved by the FDA in the second line space, pemetrexed, docetaxel, and erlotinib. We have other drugs that we all believe work in the second line space, so there are several options. And one of the current controversies that we are all thinking about in trying to make assessments of this is the concept of maintenance therapy, where 2 of the drugs that I mentioned in the second line space, pemetrexed and erlotinib, now have indications as so-called maintenance therapy, which is sequencing right from first line treatment in those patients who have responding or stable disease and keeping them on therapy with a different drug, such as pemetrexed or erlotinib. Even though those are indications, I think that this is a strategy that's not universally agreed upon as the right thing to do. I actually don't like the concept of keeping patients on therapy all the time, which going right from first line to maintenance therapy implies that you're continuing on therapy. I like the concept of treatment breaks, although obviously the risk of a treatment break is that you'll have a disease-related event that's going to prevent you from getting subsequent therapy. And so we like to think about doing second-line therapies early. And some of us believe that the concept of maintenance is really a validation that second-line therapy works, and you have to give it early before patients have problems that they can't get further therapies.
Truly, that is personalization of care. You need to look at your patient and really assess what their toxicities are, what their tumor burden is. If a patient has had minimal response to frontline therapy, and you know that with even modest growth of their tumor, they would suddenly become symptomatic, you may lean more towards a maintenance strategy. Whereas someone who had significant toxicity and low burden of disease may really need a treatment break or expect an observation or active surveillance where we're following them closely to get them to second-line treatment before they have a somewhat catastrophic event that would prevent them from reaching chemotherapy that could really help and improve their lives.
Historically, what we've done is given first-line therapy and then waited for evidence that the cancer is getting worse before we give second-line therapy. And with that strategy, up to 40% of patients have events that preclude them from getting second-line therapy. And as I mentioned, we have these second-line agents that are approved by the FDA because they're known to improve, or known or believed to improve survival and to palliate symptoms. So if you don't get the second line agent, you can't benefit from the second line agent. And I think this is the strategies that we're struggling with now.
Well, we do know that doctors like to learn through case studies, and we had the opportunity to meet with John, a patient of Dr. West's, who is in late-stage disease. John's therapy demonstrates how clinical trial findings are improving treatment of non-small cell lung cancer.
We live here in the Pacific Northwest. Heather and I have been married for 32 years. We have a few hobbies. We play cards, we do some walking and kite flying. When I first started making kites, I thought it was very complicated. But after I tinkered with it for a while, I found it's not rocket science at all. Once you get the design on there, you have to buy the spars to give it its shape and stiffness. And then you can go fly.
It's flying really nice.
Well, this is the first time I've flown it.
First time you've flown it.
Yeah.
I was a smoker. I smoked for probably 35 years or so. I quit in 1985. I was experiencing a pain in my chest, but it didn't get better after a week or two, so I went to the doctor. When they'd finished the PET scan, it showed that there was cancer in the lung, in the vertebrae, and on the sternum, the chest bone. I'm not sure just how you'd describe it, but it was a shock. I was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. The lung specialist indicated I had probably 6 months to live.
Hello, Debbie.
Dr. West gave me four treatment options when we started. The initial treatment started off with three drugs. After the fourth treatment, one of the drugs was dropped because of the headaches it was causing. After the sixth treatment, one of the drugs was dropped because of diminishing returns. Now I'm taking pemetrexed by itself, so it's sort of a maintenance drug. The side effects are much, much less. Yes, I get a little tired a few days after it, and I don't have as much pep as normal, but compared to a year ago when I was being treated, they're a breeze now. The CAT scans have shown that the main tumor has shrunk, and that's a good thing, of course. The other tumors and places have not shrunk. However, they've not progressed either. I think Dr. West is happy about the way I've responded. I focus when I get up in the morning on saying thanks for another day. I'm very hopeful that in the future they'll make great strides like they made in the past. Hopefully in the future they'll find better treatments and someday a cure for cancer.
I think John's case illustrates a few important points, and one is that now, approaching a year and a half out from my first visit with him, he is doing better than he was before. He's never had progression of his disease from his initial very good response to that first line treatment. He's on what we call continuation maintenance, and there's two basic concepts for maintenance therapy. One is continuation, where you have a patient continue on one or more of the agents that they were on in the first line setting if it is tolerable and effective. And the other option is switch maintenance, where we stop all of the agents from the first line setting after a fixed number of cycles, typically 4 to 6 cycles, and then we have them start on a new therapy, which is what Mark had mentioned as the concept of integrating early second line therapy. So there's certainly a couple of options. In his case, he was doing extremely well on the pemetrexed and has continued on it for more than a year out from his first line therapy, still flying kites and really not limited by his disease.
I think it's important to note that even with these continuation strategies, that patients really do have very full lives with control of their tumor and improvement in quality of life. So drugs that are approved for sort of this maintenance strategy are drugs like bevacizumab that we'll talk about in a bit, and pemetrexed. Both of those are infusions are relatively short. They're once every 3 weeks. They don't require a lot of pre-medication, so patients can drive themselves into treatment centers and get out. And they don't carry with them significant toxicity. I mean, certainly there is a bit of fatigue, but generally patients are feeling good when they're not spending the few hours they need to with us every 3 weeks.
It was mentioned earlier that second-line treatments are prescribed to non-small cell lung cancer patients according to histological type of cancer. What do you mean by treatment by histology interaction?
When you look historically, we had asked our pathology colleagues to distinguish small cell from non-small cell. And beyond that, there was really no reason to think about the various subsets that we've mentioned earlier in the show of non-small cell lung cancer. And then really two events happened. The first thing that made histology important was the observation that in patients with squamous histology, bevacizumab was associated with a prohibitive risk of having life-threatening or fatal pulmonary hemorrhage. So it was important to identify that histology because of the risk of bevacizumab. And the indication for bevacizumab is in non-squamous, non-small cell lung cancer. The second observation that made histology was important was the efficacy of pemetrexed, in which patients that seemed to get the greatest benefit from pemetrexed were patients with non-squamous histology, and that in patients with squamous histology, it was a relatively less effective agent than other agents we had options for. So the histologic considerations are important because of the toxicity of bevacizumab and the efficacy of pemetrexed, And now we ask our pathologists to initially make the small cell versus non-small cell distinction, but then the clinically relevant distinction is between squamous and non-squamous, because that drives our decisions about the targeted agent bevacizumab, as well as the targeted chemotherapy agent pemetrexed.